All right, I'll go ahead and get started. Okay, today is Monday, June 1st, 2020, and this is our Duplin County Commissioners meeting. My name is Jesse Dell, I'm chairman of the Duplin County Commissioners. And we meet here every year about this time to give the citizens in the county an opportunity to speak. I'd like to welcome all of you here and thank you for coming. I'd like to recognize Jimmy Dixon, I just saw you walk in, and the other officials that are present, I'm seeing. But first things first, I'd like for, ask Mr. Branch to say the invocation, if he would. I think he can speak loud enough for everybody to hear. And then we have the pledge of allegiance. Everybody would please stand.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to stand with your people. Father, I ask that you work through us and with us to bring us all on one accord, Lord, to do your will, to bring forward the best and most important boundaries to support the citizens of this great county, Duplin County. Lord, I ask that you clear all minds and hearts at this time to allow us to work together in peace and in harmony. Father, I ask that you bring additional calmness across the land as we face some turbulent times. Father, touch our leaders, each and every one of them. Give them the courage to do that which is right under all conditions. God, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory that can continue to work through us to do thy will. Now, Lord, allow us to work and assemble and do that which is necessary. In the name of Jesus, I do pray. Let us all say, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'd like to thank you for that, Mr. Branch. Today, our community is here. You know, this is the day that we involve the citizens when they have a voice other than our sitting up here before you. When it comes to the time for you to speak or have a part in our proceedings, please do so. Okay, this time we're at the consent agenda. Does anybody have anything to add? Any commissioners? Commissioners have anything to add?
I do not.
No, sir.
All right,
Mr.
Davis.
Mr.
Chairman, members of the board, Ms. Elizabeth Stoll is on her agenda. She will be unable to attend tonight due to sickness, but Mr. Mike Barnett and McDavid Associates is supposed to be here to conduct a public hearing. However, I've not seen Mr. Barnett arrive maybe yet. Also, I would like to request that you add Ms. Laura Jones, our county librarian. She would like to be added to the agenda to propose a grant opportunity for the benefit of our public library system if that is time sensitive.
Thanks, sir. Could I get a motion, please?
So move.
I've got a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. No, for things say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. The motion carries. Do we have any public comments at this time? Mr. Branson.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Jimmy Dixon has signed up for public comment.
Okay, I recognize you, Mr. Dixon. Please stand up. Public comment, please.
Can I do it right here?
Yes, sir, you can.
I don't know if my voice will be as loud as it is.
Mr. Dixon, would you like a mic? Like a mic? There's one at the end down there.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a little bit better. Mr. Chairman and board members, thank you for the opportunity to get briefly to you. I've been planning for a couple of months to do this. I would like the Board of Commissioners to consider sometime in the next couple of meetings drafting a resolution that you would share with various people, including the General Assembly, any other entities that you would feel so impressed to share it with you, just expressing the Board of County Commissioners' support for our agriculture industry, specifically our livestock. I don't know if many people realize it or not, but in Duplin County, our livestock agriculture accounts for 85% of the gate receipts for agriculture. And of course, statewide agriculture is our number one industry statewide. So I think if the commissioners would consider some type of resolution, I think it would be comforting and reassuring to our agriculture community locally, since they make up the majority of the tax base that you all are fixing to propose a budget for. So I would be happy, Mr. Chairman, to share some of my thoughts offline with you or others as to what this resolution could do, but I think it would be a win-win situation for the community. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Dixon. Go ahead. At this time, are there any other persons that would like to make a public comment to the board or to the citizens of Newark County? Okay, seeing none, hearing none, I will end the public comment session. Mr. Branson, you're next.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'll go from over here if that's okay, so I don't have to put my back. Okay. Now I'm going to present the manager's proposed budget. Okay. Here you'll see the total budget is $87,785,009. This pie chart represents how those funds are broken up among the various county departments and funds. The largest share, as you can see, is the general fund, $59,350,094. Capital reserve for education, $3,457,700. Emergency telephone, that is our E911 telephone fund, $425,970. The automation and enhancement preservation fund, which is a fund set aside for the registered deeds office, is $19,000. Property revaluation fund, $305,889. Our fire districts have increased this year to $2,906,300. Debt service, $4,630,860. Our water funds, $3,128,248. Debt service on our water fund, $1,092,288. Our public transportation system, $1,046,278. For the airport fund, $862,245. Solid waste, $3,883,483. And our insurance fund, $6,654,354. First, I'll speak on the general fund. The recommended budget, the estimated revenues are $56,061,162. Recommended expenditures, $59,372,094, with a fund balance appropriation of $3,310,932. Highlights of the general fund. We had mandatory increases in retirement contributions this year. That's the employer contribution that the county makes towards each employee's retirement account with the state treasurer's office. Increase to the budgeted insurance costs per employee. We have been budgeting for the past few years $707.34 per employee per month. That has increased by $89.51 this year to $796.85 per month per full-time employee. We had increases in our public safety salaries over fiscal year 1920. Also, our sales tax revenues budget, they're flat this year because of the uncertainty of the economic impact of the coronavirus and what that will do to our economy. This chart represents the general fund revenues as compared to FY20. Ad valorem taxes. We're budgeting to collect $382,489 more due to changes in the appraised values, but the tax rate remains unchanged. Departmental revenue. We're budgeting $109,144 more in the upcoming fiscal year, which is a relatively flat number when compared to FY20. Departmental revenue restricted. These are anticipated to be down about $135,332 due in part to the fact that we no longer account for Medicare as restricted revenue and have moved it into departmental revenues. Also, we are anticipating a reduction of health department revenues due to the operational changes which have been made necessary due to COVID-19. Federal revenues. This is where the rental income from the USDA Small Service Agency, which is housed here in the Lewis Britt Ag Building, were reflected. This year, that rental income has been recategorized as other revenue, and the federal revenue category has been zeroed out. Fund balance, as I stated earlier, is budgeted at $3,310,932. Grants. This category has increased from $50,093 last year to $120,093 in FY21, due largely in part to the Health Department applying for more grants to offset expenditures. This category also includes our hazard mitigation funds, which fund then a position in emergency management. Our inventory is down $227,000 to a budgeted amount of $1,015,000. Motor vehicle taxes, we're expecting to collect around $133,811 more, which bring the increase for the amount that we expect to collect, rather, to $3,396,116. This increase is due to the general increase in appraised values. Other revenues are budgeted to be up to $38,800 over FY20 to $505,581. This is due in part, as I stated earlier, to recategorizing the Farm Service Agency's that we received from the federal government. Sales tax. We have budgeted a sales tax amount to be flat. As I stated earlier, we are yet to see the effects, the lingering effects, that is, that COVID-19 may have on our local economy. State revenue is up by $55,420 to $8,427,149. The bulk of these revenues flow into DSS, Health Department, and our services for the aged. Next, we'll look at our expenditures. Contributions and transfers. This category is down $25,437, which can mainly be attributed to a reduction in the contribution to our airport. Cultural and recreational. This category has increased by $58,008 to fund capital needs at Cabin Lake County Park and repairs and maintenance to the Duplin County Event Center. Our debt service is flat at $578,271. Education. This year we're budgeting $12,597,889 for education. This includes a reduction in the capital outlay for our community college and less of the transfer from the general fund for school debt service. Environmental protection. This category is down by $60,813 to $772,893. This reduction is due primarily to the reduction in the watershed maintenance budget. General government. This includes governing board, attorney, finance, tax, administration, elections, registered deeds, county manager, personnel, IT, garage, facilities and maintenance, and housekeeping. There's a reduction in this budget as well. It's due to a decrease in multiple areas across all departmental budgets, but the majority of the savings are due to decreases in software, capital projects, inventory, and non-departmental funds. Human services, up a little over $1 million to $15,769,801. The human services category of our budget includes the health department, DSS, aging, and nutrition, as well as our veteran services. The increase in this category is due in large part to increases at the health department for their budget, including salaries, and in addition to there are also funds in the budget to replace windows at the Department of Social Services building. Physical development. This includes planning, economic development, our livestock facility, cooperative extension service, USDA Farm Service Agency. This category is budgeted at $1,817,032. That's a slight increase of $30,946 and is attributable to increases in salaries in both economic development and cooperative extension budgets. And lastly, we have public safety, which is the largest expenditure we have in county government. This would include the Sheriff's Department, Emergency Medical Services, Emergency Management, Fire Marshal, Communications. This is budget is $1,423,679 to $17,108,741. The increase is due to salary and capital expenditures. Here you'll see an ad valorem tax chart. It gives you the previous three, the current fiscal year, and also the next fiscal year. First, at the top, you'll see the tax rate under the corresponding budget years, what 1 cent would equate to in the based on the appraised values of property. So 1 cent in FY 2021 is estimated to bring in $433,701. Under that, you'll see the values used to budget revenues. So in FY 2021, the real property values are $3,867,557,704. Public service values, $147,936,896, for a total valuation of $494,600. We also have DMV as the value of our motor vehicles and trailers, boats, would be $464,378,462. Under that, you'll see the property tax budget versus actual. So it looks like in FY 1920, our current fiscal year, we budgeted to collect, the actual collections thus far through 5/20 are $29,063,631.62. So we were ahead by about $305,137.62. Below that, you'll see the motor vehicle tax budget versus actual, and you'll see that we have taken in $392,742.82 less than what we have budgeted to receive. However, we don't get the May's tax until June. We don't get the June tax until July. We get about $250,000 roughly a month, so we are expecting to meet that target as well. Here you'll see what 1 cent on the tax rate equates to based on the appraised values in the county. A half a cent, $216,850. 1 cent, $433,701, and so forth. Here are our sales tax estimates. We have six sales tax articles, which we receive funding from or have received funding from one of them in the past. The first one is Article 39. That's 1 cent that you pay in sales tax, and it goes entirely to the county. The next one is Article 40. 30% of those proceeds on that half cent set aside for school capital. Article 42, half cent, and 60% of that has to be set aside for school capital. Article 44, that was ceded to the state in 2007, I believe, as part of the Medicare swap, but we still get some proceeds from that every year, not much. Article 46 is the quarter cent sales tax that goes to our volunteer fire departments. And then finally, Article 44-524 is used for economic development, public education, and community colleges. In FY 19-20, we had budgeted to collect $8,132,188 in the sales tax that I just mentioned. And we are ahead in our collections and estimated ahead of by $521,124. We have left our sales tax estimates at flat value, the same as they were last year, again due to the uncertainty of the economic situation which we are facing. But we will continue to monitor our expenditures closely and see what the lingering effects of the coronavirus pandemic will have on our economy and corresponding sales tax revenues. Our special revenue and enterprise funds. The one at the top is our emergency telephone fund that goes to fund our 911 center, our public safety answering point. We have a new secondary or backup PSAP, which will be housed in Wayne County. They built a new call center, emergency operations center over there. Our backup will be housed there, so we have put some money in the budget to move our backup center from Kingsville over to county, and we also have money in there for a server. Capital reserve for education, debt service expense partially shifted from our capital outlay. Automation enhancement and preservation fund, $19,000, that's flat. That's the fund that goes to help the Register of Deeds office as a portion of the funds that she collects in her office. Property revaluation, that increase represents a software payment, the final software payment, I believe. Our fire district, you'll see, that is up by $607,071. That increase is due to the addition of 11 fire tax districts voted in by the people this year. Our debt service is down slightly, $33,958. Our water funds are up by about $52,212. That's because of just general operating increases for our water department and also the purchase of a truck. Our water fund debt service is up by only $1,106, which is nominal. Our public transportation department's budget is actually down by almost $33,000. Airport budget is up $19,437, and that's a general increase because of operational cost. Solid waste is up $284,419. That's due to capital purchases, contract change for the scrap tire disposal, and repairs and upgrades to the transfer station. And finally, our insurance fund is up $1,278,354. This year, we are moving our county employees' health insurance to the North Carolina Health Insurance Pool. It's a pool of local governments have banded together to try to rein in some of the cost of providing health care coverage to our employees. And we are trying to budget actual cost for insurance instead of relying on an insurance fund balance each year. This gives us a more accurate estimate of how much we spend on health insurance and how much the cost will be. Fund 22 is our school capital. It's funded by two of those sales tax articles that I mentioned earlier. The Board of Education request this year for capital was $740,045, and we have budgeted that amount is unchanged. Our proposed debt service for the school system, $2,717,655. Estimated revenues, $2,194,000, that's flat based on sales tax. And our fund balance appropriated is up
due to transfer of debt service by $1,263,700. Here you'll see how the school system, all the funding sources, in FY '20, the total general funding for the school system was $10,708,558, and FY '21 is proposed at $10,329,413. Our capital fund for investments to site improvements, like I stated earlier, they requested $740,045, and that's what we had budgeted. For debt service, $2,717,655. For total funding for the school system, $13,787,113. These are the new fire tax districts that will be levied this upcoming fiscal year, and beside the name of the fire department, you will see the corresponding tax rate for each of those districts. So in Calypso, it's 5 cents, Chinkopin, 7, Fountain Town, 5, Basin, 6.5, Greenover, 7, Lyman, 5, Mount Olive, 7, Potter's Hill, 7, Rose Hill, 7, Peachy, 7, and Wallace, 7. Our insurance fund, Fund 89. This is the proposed budget for expenditures and revenues, $6,654,354. And the county has joined into North Carolina Health Insurance Pool within the Blue Cross Blue Shield network. The county is still self-insured, and the new plan offers more flexibility to allow us to predict future expenditures. And budget expenditures per employee were increased to cover the future claims, as I alluded to earlier in my presentation. Future budget concerns, we always have concerns about our revenue growth, especially in these trying and uncertain economic conditions that we face. Increased operational costs each year. We always have the challenge of saving for future capital needs for our funding for employee benefits. The cost for providing health insurance are ever increasing. And then we also have contributions to our employees' retirement funds that will be increasing again next year. And also we need to, at some point in the near future, address our employee compensation plan. That's all I have for the presentation as far as the general county budget. In a few moments after we have this comments on this presentation, then Ms. Shields and myself, your economic development director, will present the economic development budget.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Preston has just stood before you to conduct he gave you the information for the proposed Duplin County fiscal year 2021 budget, and as required by General Statutes 159-12, before the Duplin County can adopt the county's budget ordinance, the Board of Commissioners must first hold a public hearing, at which time any persons who wish to be heard on the budget may appear to make any oral and or present written comments. So at this time, if there is anybody that would like to make any statements or comments in reference to the proposed budget, we're having a public hearing at this time. So now is the time to address anything concerning this budget. Okay, like I stated, each year this time we have the our meeting here to let our constituents come here and address anything that they'd like to address. We'd like to get you involved in anything that we do. Yes, sir, Mr. Dixon.
Davis has got it now.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I have just jotted down a few questions. I'll direct those questions to you, and if you direct to some somebody else on staff, that'll be fine. So can I be recognized for a short series of questions?
You are recognized, go ahead, sir. And Mr. Davis could probably ask you questions if he wanted.
When did we have the malware problem? When did that happen?
February 7th.
So we have malware on February 2nd. Do you have the audit report for the last budget year?
We have the draft on the report.
I believe that the statutes ask for that audit report to be completed by October, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So the malware occurred long after the situation with the due date of the audit. Without an audit, how do the commissioners know how our projections for revenue and our projections, if you presented it, Mr. Branson, I overlooked it. Was that included in your report? The projections last year that we don't have an audit on revenue and spending as to how we compared, how did our projections for revenue come out and how did our projections for spending come out?
So what specifically about revenues or expenditures as far as coming out would you like for me to speak to?
Well, if it was in those figures, which I couldn't see from back there, the point that I'm trying to make is, as a commissioner, I would want to know what we projected for property taxes, what we projected for sales taxes, and how our actual collections for those items were.
Yes, sir, and that was reported in both slides, one for property tax and one for sales tax, compared to last year. It's not an audited figure, but it is the numbers that are reported in our financial statements, in our finance software.
How much fund balance did we project spending in the last budget?
It was around 2.9 million.
And how much did we actually spend?
I do not have audited estimates back, but my personal estimate is that we used around $290,000. And I'm waiting for the auditor to confirm that from my financial statements.
I think that concludes my questions. It's very concerning that here we are in June. These audits are not forensic audits. These audits are simply to check the math that the county provides to the auditor. It's extremely concerning that every year that audit gets later and later. And I just believe that is an issue that needs to be addressed, to have an audited figure so that you know that this was projected to spend from fund balance. And we actually spent this much, didn't spend that much, and how you compare it to your revenue projections in order to be able to make a decision about how you set the tax rate for the coming year. I know that this is a thankless job, both for staff as well as for the commissioners. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about real money here. I've talked with the auditors. This audit is nothing more than the auditors verifying the map that your county staff is supposed to send them on a timely basis. And they have not received that on a timely basis. As a taxpayer of Duke County, I'm extremely concerned that here we are going to set a tax rate and we don't have the elementary information that I believe commissioners need in order to make that decision.
Thank you, Mr. Dixon.
Okay, at this time, is there anyone else that would like to make any statement in reference to this proposed budget? Now is your chance to be recognized. Okay, at this time, nobody's made any efforts to make any other statements, so at this time, I will close the public hearing and we'll move on with Mr. Davis and Kerry. Okay, Ms. Shields.
This presentation is nowhere as complex as the last one. It's only one slide. So, proposed economic development budget for FY 2021. You see salary and fringes budget $145,887. Operating expenditures $62,852. And economic incentives to our business partners in the private sector, $1,052,749, for a grand total of $1,200,488. Ms. Shields is here, and she will be glad to answer any in-depth questions you may have about the economic development budget.
Okay, at this time, I will open the public hearing for this issue. Mr. Dixon.
Ms. Shields, could you give us an update on the transfer of the forestry service to headquarters out there and maybe an indication of slight adjustment that we're trying to make that will expedite the completion of that project?
Currently, we are working with the Forestry Service. We've had several meetings on the airport side as well as the development side to bring them to Duplin County Airport. Right now, we are working through the actual exact location of where they will be, but we have, you know, we have a map that should be with us by end of week before Friday that will show us the exact location. As far as the hangar project goes, that is under construction currently on the aviation side.
Mr. Chairman, I bring that up because our airport, when George makes it available to various meetings that we hold here, the comments and compliments that we get relative to the airport, I mean, that's just such a bright spot.
Yes, it is.
For Duke County. All over the state, the folks that I've called in out there, and it's just a delight to talk about the airport and this move with the Forestry Service, and we can help get the training part of it legislatively in that would be even better for us, but it is a very bright economic spot for us in Duke County.
Right, we think so, and Mr. Futrell and Michelle are doing a fantastic job, along with Mr. Brinson, in bringing that to the forefront in Duke County. And maybe you can get us some funds to help us add some more hangers out there. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, are there any other comments that anyone would like to make? Okay, at this time, the public hearing is concluded. Thank you, Ms. Shields. Okay, Mr. Barnett, you're out here?
Yes. What is it? Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask Mr. Brinson one question, just for clarification, before we leave this budget?
Yes, sir. The disconcerting, Ms. Shields.
The budget overall, not just economic, it's not directed, it's just an overall budget question to make sure I've got my numbers correct, because I'm new at this. We have a 73.5 cent tax rate, correct?
Yes.
Of that 73.5 cent, we have set aside in the past that 2 cents of that is used for employee insurance funds, correct?
Yes.
And then there is another 2 cent that is set aside for capital expenditures improvements in the county, correct?
Yes, capital reserve fund.
Capital reserve fund. Our general fund, our budget is basically built on 71.5 cents. The capital reserve funds is set in an account that is not, that revenue is not used to balance the general budget. Is that correct?
It is not used for operational expenses, no.
That's right. But the 2 cent insurance is used for operational, because that is used to offset the Blue Cross Blue Shield plan that we're going to, correct?
Yes, it is used to help offset the expenditures that we put forward to provide health insurance for our employees.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Can we move on? Mr. Barnett, please come up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tonight we have the first of a series of two public hearings for a possible application for CDBG-NR, which stands for Neighborhood Revitalization Program. This program is provided through the North Carolina Department of Commerce and Rural Economic Development Division. First public hearing is to announce that the county is intending or possibly apply for this money and have whatever kind of eligible activities we have that are available. We'll have a second public hearing, I think you have said, in July, and that would be to announce to the public what the staff is recommending to the board that we do with these funds. The application can include housing improvements for owner-occupied, low-moderate income people, and they must be homeowners, and it can include infrastructure activities that support these housing activities. The housing can be on a scattered basis, or on a defined area basis, and defined area being some contiguous area that you could work on. The application can also include activities such as community facilities, neighborhood facilities, recreation facilities such as parks, playgrounds, and greenways, access to the disabled facilities, senior center, housing for the homeless, housing for shelters for victims of domestic violence, and transitional housing. However, the main thrust of the application must be housing. We have examined the question of whether we could put, say, all of this into a park, and the answer was no. Staff at Commerce has told us we need to have the main thrust being housing. And this year they have an emphasis on COVID-19. Exactly what that means, I'm not really sure. But we'll have to come up with housing solutions or other solutions in your facilities that would address COVID-19, and we would get at the point following those activities. This is a 100% grant program. There's not a required local match. If you do have a local match, the problem is the points available to you, but we will look at our program and recommend something to you, but it's not required. The total amount of funding available is $10 million, with a maximum grant request of $750,000. Staff will work and develop possible applications based on what the staff is aware of your CDBG NR needs may be. We'll work in with the manager, come up with some recommendations for you to bring back to you and the board. The application is due the end of July of this year. Mr. Chairman, the action you need to take tonight is just to receive public comment.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Barnett. Mr. Barnett is from McDavid and Associates, and he's here in the place of Ms. Elizabeth Stahl, our county planner. At this time, I'll open the first public hearing in reference to the grant that is being talked about. Does anybody have anything to say about this or any comments or questions?
All right, thank you. Okay, at this time, the public hearing is closed, and we move on.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Ms. Tracy Chestnut, please come up. Thank you, Ms. Garnett.
Good evening.
Good evening, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, as you're aware that every year when your audit is turned in late, you have to amend your original contract for the new date that it will be turned in to the state treasurer's office. This has to be approved for our final audit to be accepted by the state treasurer's office. So before you, you have an amended contract that is dated June 30th, 2020. And I'm asking you to approve that contract amendment. So again, the auditors have completed our final draft and can submit it to the treasurer's office without any delay.
I need a motion.
Second.
I've got a motion and second to approve the amendment to contract to the audit accounts for fiscal year 2018, 2019 between Beaufort County and Thompson Price, Scott Adams and Company with a modified due date of 6/30/2020. Any discussion?
Yeah. I remember the last year or the year before, it seems to me like this is not 8th or 9th year being on the board. It seems like we've been late every single year that we've been our accountants have. Was it either last year or the year before? We decided to go with another county, right?
Yes, sir.
What's the delay this year?
The delay this year is twofold. The first delay is on my part because I've been short-staffed and have had to do a software conversion that has taken a majority of my time. And because I am the only one in the office at this time with the knowledge of the audit schedules, it has put me behind turning in my paperwork to the auditors. The last information we gave them was in January when they came on site to complete their on-site work. They came in August, December, and January. Then we had a malware attack, so I was not able to provide the trial balance to them until March, the final trial balance. So I would say it's two-part on the county side because of the issues in my office, and partially I would say it is to the auditor as well in the timeliness after I provided the trial balance.
If you're adequately staffed and not dealing with a malware issue and people aren't wearing masks in meetings, when everything is normal, if that ever happens again, when would you say that your office needs to have everything to the accounting in a typical normal year?
Okay, during the audit, there are two timelines that I have to meet. The most important timeline is when the auditors come in the August time frame to come to do on-site work. That's where they review any accounts payable and accounts receivable and pull their samples to see that we posted everything properly. That's the first step. Then we can't totally close out our books until the end of September because the last sales tax we received from the June payment doesn't come in until September. So then we have a short amount of time from then for the auditors to complete the financial statements, which is the second part. Because not only do they prepare our audit, they also have to prepare the financial statements for the county because we're not large enough to employ a team of CPAs to prepare the financial statements. So in a perfect world where I'm adequately staffed and the senior employees have been trained in audit schedules so that I can spread the work to my staff members, then it would be reasonable to think that by the time we receive the sales tax in September, we should have everything that they need from us. With the exception of the final schedules in the back of the audit that are supplemental schedules, they're not required, but we do that because that gives some additional information about the county. And I cannot complete that until I get the draft financial statements because there's four schedules that I have to have. I have to have their financial statements to complete those schedules. So going back to the question, I would say it would be reasonable by the time we receive sales tax in September, which is on the 15th of the month, that we should have everything completed once that final journal entry and check is written out.
October 31st deadline is a reasonable deadline.
I have never failed with a county that size. On the auditor end, with the number of audits that they have to complete, I think they have, at least in the Wilmington office, over 30 different audits between municipalities, counties, and school boards. I don't know how that they get it done, but I think with the county our size, I can get my work done, but then the paperwork that goes into the audit on the auditor end can be time consuming.
Was it done for 31st when you were with Little County? Did you get it on that? I've never been part of a county government where we've gotten a backup.
Well.
That I can recall.
The only year in my seven years as a finance officer was in Wallace when the council made the auditors turn it in or gave them a significant financial penalty, but they turned it in by October 31st to the council. But it was not turned in to the state until the end of November. And the state recognizes that for some of the larger entities, it can take a while because of staffing. You know, if you're not, like I said, the county ourselves, we can't afford a huge thing just to prepare the financial statement. So we rely on our auditors to complete this financial statement for us. So the treasurer's office recognizes that October 31st, although it's the deadline, if you go on their website, it does state that they give you a grace period until December 1st to turn it into them as completed. And this year, just FYI, because the contract for fiscal year 21 will have to be signed and approved at the next meeting to move forward with the fiscal year 20 audit, but because of COVID and other issues going on across the state, the treasurer's office has extended the deadline this year until January 31st. But our plan in our office is to stay on track and if it will do by October 1st.
I think this is the third year in a row that we've been facing the situation. So Mr. Dixon kind of called a hand on it last year, and here we are again this year. But we'll see what happens this year.
Is that June 30th date our date, or is that a date requested by them?
No, that is the date that I would say is reasonable for them to get it into the treasurer's office.
We're passing a budget the 15th. Mm-hmm. I make a motion that it be due to the treasurer's office by June the 11th.
Okay.
I think there's a motion on the floor right now to be discussing.
Oh, we already got a motion. Oh, I'm sorry.
I think I can fill that in.
So you are comfortable with them transmitting that information to the treasurer's office prior to it being presented to the board members?
Run the back up.
And I don't know that the treasurer's office will do the turnaround on the approval of the contract that fast, but I will see how fast they can get it turned around.
Are they going to present it us on the 15th?
Yes.
How confident are you of that?
I would say they should reasonably be able to do that because they turned in the audit, the correct audit to me today. And so tomorrow they will get my notes on what I feel like needs to be revised based on my opinion of how they presented the information. And then I have to complete the full schedule that I can't complete until they give me the new draft on it. So there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to present it to the board by the 15th.
Because we're going to sit here, if we're going to approve this tonight at the 30th, and they don't present it the 15th, then we don't meet again to July the 6th.
Well, by statute, we can't approve
it. We're not approving it tonight.
We cannot approve it tonight. You have to wait at least 10 days after the budget is presented to the board. So we can't approve until the next call meeting anyway because of the statute.
Okay.
Well, then this date is wrong. It ought to be after our July first Monday in July meeting.
No, the June 15th is when they're going to supposed to present the audit. I'm sorry, that's
the 15th is when we'll vote on the audit.
And then the budget will be voted on the 15th.
And then this amendment is for the contract.
Yes. And then they have to turn in the final audit and our financial information report to the treasurer's office by the 30th. For the contract that their plan is, according to Mr. Adams, who's the senior partner that I work with, that they should be able to do that and that it's presented to the board and accepted.
Okay. And from my understanding, as Mr. Davis, we just got the draft today, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You know, I questioned the if we had it at the beginning before the meeting started. And
I'm confused at what you said about 10 days.
The way this, in reference to the budget, we can't approve the budget tonight by law.
Oh, I understand that, but we're going to approve it, I'm saying we're going to approve it on the 15th.
Yes, sir.
Is what the proposal is at this particular point in the game.
For the budget.
For the budget.
And then the audit should be presented to the board on the 15th as well.
Hopefully we'll be able to see the budget with the audit before we vote on the budget.
We should receive the audit in the packet prior to the meeting.
So are there any other questions? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Billy Ivey, please come up.
Good afternoon, Your Honor, everybody.
Good evening, sir.
Can y'all hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
I didn't use my mic. I'm Bill Ivey, Soil Conservation Office. I'm going to present Limestone Muddy Creek Watershed Mowing Contract. Daniel Hank Bond of Handy Land Farms, LLC, with the low bidder for the annual mowing contract, in the amount of $41,500. It is in our budget. Request action for Daniel Hank Bond of Handy Land. An annual mowing contract for Limestone and Muddy Creek in the amount of $41,500.
Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I've got a motion and a second to award Hank Bond, DBA, Handy Land Farms, LLC, the fiscal year 2021 annual mowing contract for Limestone and Muddy Creek Watershed in the amount of $41,500 annually. Approve the contract for Limestone and Muddy Creek Watershed mowing contracts in the amount of that same amount, $41,500, and allow the chairman to sign saying no. The papers say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. Motion carries. Go ahead, Mr. Ivey, with the next issue.
Okay, my next is the Limestone and Muddy Watershed Maintenance Contract for Repairs. Douglas Shore, D&D Construction, LLC, was the low bidder for annual maintenance contract in the amount of $68,000. Requested action is award Douglas Shore, D&D Construction, LLC, the annual maintenance contract for Limestone and Muddy Creek in the amount of $68,000. Budget is funded already.
So moved.
I've got a motion and second to award Douglas Shoulder of D&D Construction LLC for the fiscal year 2021 annual maintenance contract for Limestone and Muddy Creek Watershed in the amount of $68,000. This will be annually an approved contract for Limestone and Muddy Creek Watershed mowing contract in the amount of $68,000 and allow the chairman to sign. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Have a good evening. All right, Mr. Branson.
Mr. Chairman, I believe we added Ms. Lawrence Earl, our county librarian, to speak to you about a grant opportunity for our county library.
Yeah, sorry about that. I missed that. Okay, come on, Mr. Jones.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, and members of the board. The Institute for Museum and Library Services made the librarians across the state aware of a CARES Act grant for museums and libraries, and that's what you have here in your packet. My proposal is to purchase a bookmobile for Houston County Library Services. The average payout for this grant is $150,000, and you see in the front page here sort of a breakdown of costs for this bookmobile for the library, and then the approximate annual costs. I'm asking permission to apply for this grant. It's a goal to have a bookmobile, and they're rather expensive. I would like to take the opportunity. There are no matching funds required for this.
One second.
This is to apply, correct?
For grant.
Chris to apply for the grant, and this is what I intend to.
Second.
To purchase the grant.
Okay, I've got a motion and second to authorize Ms. Laura Jones, Dubuque County Librarian, to, for her to request to apply for this grant. It's IMLS CARES grant for museums and libraries. Any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. Motion carries. All right, thank you.
We did get a grant to replace them with library and do project that then awarded $50,000 Canada grant, so we're looking at that work.
Okay, well, thank you, go to job, you're doing that. Mr. Davis.
Mr. Chairman, I have any further questions for the board tonight.
We adjourn till, whatever, next.
15.
15.
Can I have a second, Mr. Chairman? For this.
Go ahead, sir.
Never, we'll discuss it at our next meeting, I'll do it properly at our next meeting, sorry.
Okay, you're welcome to talk to the county manager.
I'll do it properly at our next meeting, we'll be fine.
All right, will you give me a second for the adjournment?
Second.
Okay, I've got a motion and second to adjourn until Monday, June 15th, 2020, at 6:00 PM at the Administrative Office Building. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay. We are adjourned at this time until that day. Thanks for coming, have a good day.